So the last 3 weeks, we have been talking about health, and health in terms of spiritual health, mental health, and now today we get to talk about physical health within the bigger picture of our Christian life. I had a church that I pastored in just outside of Bowling Green. It was a small country Methodist church, and there was a retired professor from Western Kentucky University there. And when I would start preaching on topics like this, at the end of the sermon, he would come and shake my hand, and he would say, "Now, preacher, this morning you got to meddling a little bit." We're going to try not to meddle, but this can be a difficult topic sometimes when we talk about physical health, because we're all pretty sensitive about that. But we've talked about it in terms of tradition, the Christian tradition, and what tradition in Christ has to tell us about healthy living in terms of our spiritual life, our mental life, and our physical life. And one of the things that I want to make sure we point out is that traditionalists tend to see reality as vertical, that there is a God above us, beyond us, and then we are in the world below. That's a concept that we give that vertical term to, because that helps us kind of see it and understand it. But that doesn't mean that God is up there, and if we just got in a spaceship and traveled far enough, that we would land on God planet. We just think in terms of God being transcendent. He's beyond us. He's above us. He's greater than anything that we can even begin to imagine. So traditionalists tend to see things vertical, as opposed to the modern world, which tends toward atheism and towards just a crass, raw materialism. They tend to see the world as flat, that all there is what you see around you. So basically, stuff is all that there is, and we then are just stuff. We're just made of particles. There is, in the modernist atheistic view, there is nothing beyond. There is no vertical. Everything is flat. And that's their end. That's all there is. But if this God that we worship, who we worship, is transcendent, and he is a God of order, and he is a God who sustains us, and he is a God who is loving, which we find in the church and in the scriptures and in the teachings of Jesus, then there must be, in this vertical way of living with a transcendent God before us, there must be a way that we live our lives then in an orderly way, in a healthy way, a sustaining way, and in a loving way. That would only make sense, that this God who is that would expect that, and the good life would come if we lived that way as well. And the traditional outlook is outlined in our reading from Isaiah this morning, Isaiah chapter 40. The prophet says this: God gives strength to the weary. So you have this notion of God being above us. He's the giver of things. God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So again, you have that vertical picture. So all vitality then, all life comes from God. We find in the scriptures that God breathes life into the first people, into Adam, that God breathes life into us. He sustains us in our daily life. In fact, Exodus 15:2 says, "The Lord is my strength and my song." So he's not only our physical strength, but he's also our spiritual and our mental strength. He's our song. He's what sustains us. He is our vitality. So if we're going to have health in our lives, spiritual, mental, and physical, it will come in the presence of a transcendent God. In a flat world, you might eat the right stuff and you might get all the exercise in the world, but in the end, nothing matters. There's no hope. Nothing is eternal. Nothing has meaning or purpose in an accidental material world. So there's always a nothingness, a nihilism in the emptiness of the modern world that doesn't worship and acknowledge a transcendent God. So that's why I say, as Christians, we are people of tradition, because in the Christian tradition, it's vertical, it's transcendent, and everything within that creation that the transcendent God created is sacred. There is nothing that is not sacred, including our bodies. So if we're to be healthy people, spiritually, mentally, and physically healthy, we have to acknowledge this transcendent God. And what we find in Isaiah chapter 40, as he goes on, it says this, and this is true for all of us, even youth grow weary and young men stumble and fall. We all get tired. We all just sometimes don't know if we can go on. But then he goes on to say, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. God gives strength, and we're required to do one thing, and that is to hope. Because in hope is everything that is required of us. In hope is trust. In hope is faith. In hope is obedience. In hope is following Christ. Everything builds from hope that God's promises will endure, that God is truly the one who gives us strength. Do we believe that? Do we honor that with our lives? That every day it is God who gives me strength. And because God gives me strength, I hope in that. And in my hope, there's a response that's required of me. And the fundamental response in hope that's required of us is letting go. Letting go. A few weeks ago, we talked about spiritual health. And we said that it begins with letting go of this false divide between spiritual and secular, or sacred and profane. The world teaches us that there's this split, that some things are sacred and some things are not. Some things are secular. But we have to let go of that and in our hope realize that everything is sacred. Everything. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. Then last week we said there's also something else we got to let go of if we're going to have mental health. And that is that barrage of assaultive thoughts that constantly attacks us every moment. Right now you're being barraged by thoughts. Many of them are assaultive. They're telling you terrible things, ugly things, defeatist things. We said we've got to let go of those thoughts. And discover that underneath that, and beyond that, and even above that, is the silent, or the quiet, still, small voice of God, the thought of God. So as we let go of those negative thoughts, those assaultive thoughts, we realize we can encounter God through the thought or through the word. So if it's true in our spiritual life that we need to let go, if it's true in our mental life and our let go, is it true in our physical life? What does it mean to let go so that we can become physically healthy? Because God desires that we love him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Jesus says that. He says, in fact, that's the greatest thing, is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So I want to finish up our discussion about traditional health in Christ with physical health. I think it's important because our society is becoming less and less healthy every day, in spite of the medical advances that we have, the knowledge that we have. I mean, with a few keystrokes, you can go on and self-diagnose yourself. Who hasn't done that? I'm going to die tomorrow. I've done that. We have all this medical innovation and all this knowledge before us, but yet we're getting sicker and sicker, mostly by lifestyle diseases, like atherosclerosis, heart disease, stroke, obesity, type 2 diabetes, illnesses related to smoking and alcohol and drug abuse. All of those things are on the rise. And Christians don't fare much better on those charts than the general population. But God desires that we be healthy spiritually, mentally, and physically. In fact, the scriptures tell us whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And that includes our physical lives as well. One thing we have to get past, though, and that is determinism. The world, this flat, materialistic, atheistic world, teaches determinism. It says, Everything's already predetermined. Whatever happened billions of years ago is just cause and effect, and you are built out of billions of years of cause and effect. Your genetic makeup is just, it's already sewn in. Who you're going to be, what you're going to do, what you're going to say, the career you're going to choose, your shoe size, whatever, that's all predetermined. We have no choice in anything. That's the atheistic, modern, materialistic viewpoint. And it's a very, very powerful, but ultimately destructive viewpoint. If there's one thing that sets the Christian viewpoint apart from the atheistic, materialistic, modern viewpoint, is that we are not determined, that God gives us choice, that God gives us the ability to choose our path. You have a choice. In where your life will take you, in where you will go, and what you will do. Does that mean there are not limitations upon us? I found that out very early in high school basketball that I could not jump. I was 6'4". Man, if I could have just jumped 3 more inches, I could have been somebody. But I couldn't jump. So high school was the end. It's like, oh, we don't want you after this. We all have limitations, physical limitations, mental limitations. Some of us are just are going to be so much smarter than me that I can't. You set in awe of people like that. Others are going to be physically stronger. Others are going to be have a more of an emotional bent. They're going to be nurturers. Others are going to be, you know, we all have limitations upon us, but also opportunities. But that doesn't mean that we don't have choice, because our choice, the Bible tells us, is this. And it's interesting, and this is very true in Methodist teaching, that our choice is letting go. Our choice is to let go and let God. And when we let go of certain things in our lives, doors open, opportunities open, and so many options, so many opportunities open up to us that we didn't have because we weren't letting go. Here's the materialistic, modern, atheistic position. If you were to kind of physically look at someone and see their soul and their heart, here is their position. They're holding on. They're trying to control everything. They want to control this and control this, and they think they can. And then they begin to become their own God through their own education and through their own ability and their own discipline. They feel like they can control everything, but they realize they can't, but they don't want to let go because that acknowledges that they're not in control, that there's something bigger in control. But Jesus, over and over again, and the Old Testament tells us this as well, is, do you want to know health? Do you want to know spiritual health? Do you want to know mental health and physical health? Let go. Let go of everything you're trying to control and begin to see God's vision for your life pour into you. Because we dam up the spirit. We create a wall around us that dams out and keeps out the spirit. But when we let that down and we let go, options begin to open to us by letting go. So I want to talk this morning briefly about letting go in terms of our physical health. We've already talked about it in spiritual terms and mental terms. Now let's talk about it in terms of our spiritual health. And the first thing is this that I want to say, and that is we have to realize that physical health begins with realizing that we live in an incarnational world, that God is with us, that God is everywhere present, and He fills all things. We need to let go of that reality, that flat reality that says this world is all that there is. Let go of that atheistic viewpoint and acknowledge that God is among us. And what does that do? What does it do when we stop pursuing the world as the end and we pursue transcendence? That immediately gives us purpose. That immediately infuses meaning into our lives. That immediately gives us goals that mean something. It is, okay, it's important for me to be healthy. Why is it important for me to be as healthy as I can? Because God tells us to love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he makes it very practical. He says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So we live in an incarnational world. God infuses the world. Everything is sacred. So live as if God is filling everything because He is, and that will give you purpose and meaning. So the world is incarnational. The second thing that the scriptures teach us about letting go is this. First of all, if we believe that reality is flat, that nothing matters in the end, that the world is void of meaning and purpose, then we become nihilist. We believe that everything is nothing and nothing matters. And one of the first things that people let go of when they feel like nothing matters is what? They let go of their physical health. Well, nothing matters anyway, so why bother? And so we lose this noble sensibility of taking care of ourselves so that we in turn can take care of the world, so that we in turn can take care of people, that we can take care of ideas, that we can work toward the vision for the world that God has entrusted to us. Because without God, people who live in this flat world become lazy, they become weak, they become self-indulgent, and they become hedonistic. And before we get too judgmental, Christians can do that just as easily as the world when we lose sight of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul writes, "In the name of the Lord Jesus, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle or who is a nihilist, who nothing matters, and so they don't have energy to take on with the strength of God to take on the world." Proverbs 6, the Proverbist warns us not to fall into this worldly way of nihilism and laziness. He warns this, he says, "A little bit of sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and a poverty will come upon you like a thief before you even know it." And that's why good works is always recommended by the scriptures. So we should be active, we should be moving, we should keep our bodies healthy. You know, I've noticed that when retirees come back to the office after they've been retired, say for about a year, and they come back to visit old friends, I usually notice either one of two things among those former coworkers who've retired. They either look fabulous. It looks like they lost, you know, like 20 years were added to their life. They look 20 years younger. You know, smile, they're radiant, you know, they're kind of floating through the office. Or they come back and they look weak and they look weary. I think the difference there is that the ones who come back looking alive and looking 20 years younger and refreshed, they didn't retire into nothingness. They saw their retirement as a second opportunity, as a new opportunity, as a new day, as something, an opportunity to take on the world in a different way. And so they're energized by that. The ones that come back and retire were kind of, and look like death warmed over, were kind of the ones that never seemed to be happy anyway, and they kind of retired into that nothingness. And so there's a reason the scriptures tell us, don't be idle, keep moving, keep active, to keep healthy, keep moving. There's a gentleman I follow, Mark's Daily Apple is the name of his website. He's been doing that for 20-some years now. And he says, here's the key. Move slow often, so always be moving slowly. Move fast occasionally, so get the heart rate up occasionally, and lift heavy stuff. That's it. Move slow often, move fast occasionally, and lift heavy stuff if you want to be stronger physically. But that doesn't mean that we're not to get rest, right? Because rest is important as well. We're to work but not overwork. Exodus chapter 20, 8 through 10 says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord." So we're to get rest. Every night should be a Sabbath. We should strive to get a good night's rest. So, seeing the world as incarnational, staying active, but also getting plenty of rest. And then thirdly, I want to talk about something called the noble life or the disciplined life. You realize in the Bible that we are called sons and daughters of God. That means we're royalty. You are royalty. You are called to be among the nobility. And royalty takes a certain care in how they live and move in the world. We've sort of discovered that in the Megxit thing, right? With Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. How is royalty supposed to live and move in the world, and what are the rules and what are not the rules? There's a certain rule, there's a certain discipline among Christian nobility. We are the Christian nobility. The noble life is a life that's lived through love. Noble souls are disciplined about living loving lives. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "God has given us a spirit of discipline." So we have to live a disciplined life of health. It requires that we make decisions about what we're going to let go of. There are a lot of things that we need to let go of in order to find and discover health for our lives. What are they in your life? What do you need to let go of? It's not so much about things that you need to do, but it's things that you need to let go of. We could enumerate those, but you know what they are in your life. It's a disciplined life. The noble life is a disciplined life. Richard Taylor, a Christian, wrote a book called The Disciplined Life, and he says, "The advantage of the disciplined person has over the undisciplined person shows up in many ordinary matters of life." He says, the disciplined person picks up his clothes. The undisciplined person lets them lie around. The one wipes clean the bathroom sink that he uses. The other leaves it dirty for someone else to clean. One plans his work and works to his plan. The other works haphazardly. One is always punctual in keeping his appointments. The other is notoriously late. One is always on time for the meetings of church. The other is never on time. The difference in all these cases is not one of character, but it's of habit or of letting go. Of letting go of something in order to make room for something else. So good health comes when we take on and realize the noble souls that we are, sons and daughters of God. A couple more things and then we'll finish up here. Healthy eating and hygiene habits. Have you noticed how the Word of God continually tells us to avoid certain kinds of foods, especially in the Old Testament? We're discouraged, even commanded, to avoid certain foods that are actually not good for us. For example, in Daniel, Daniel and his friends chose not to defile themselves with the king's food. Instead, they opted to eat vegetables and drink water only. That's not a prescribed diet. That was just something that worked for Daniel in that time. They were found healthier than others, Daniel says. But the latest consensus for the last few decades is pretty broad, and that is we're to let go of certain things. Processed foods, breads, and sugars. And in place, eat healthy fats, proteins, and green and colorful vegetables. In fact, one way it was explained to me was stay along the outside of the grocery store aisle when you're shopping and avoid everything in the middle that you can. Everything that's in a box processed that if you put it on your shelf and come back a year later, you can still eat it, it's probably not healthy for you. To stay on the outside aisles, that's where the real food is. If you are a real person, then feed yourself real food. If you're fake and artificial, then you can eat whatever you want. That doesn't mean that we don't celebrate on occasion, though, does it? Nehemiah 8:10, they were celebrating, and Nehemiah said to the people, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So we don't become Spartan about it. We just become moderate and healthy about it. habitual about it. And as with healthy eating, taking care of our bodies in other ways is also important as well. Treating your body like the temple that it is. So you see, so much of the Christian, in Christian tradition, health is letting go of things. Health is letting go of the nihilistic viewpoint that nothing matters. It does matter. Everything matters. Everything's sacred. And the transcendent God, who is orderly and who is sustains us in health and who breathes life into us, he desires that we too be orderly and that we live healthy lives. And so we go back to the prophet Isaiah. We remember he said these words: God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. The Lord is my strength. Even youth grow weary and young men stumble and fall. We all get tired, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. You have a hope, and that hope is eternal. But eternity is not the future. Eternity is all time. That's so big of a concept for us to put our minds around. Eternity is forever. Eternity, we tend to think of eternity as the future. Eternity is for all time, including now. And so if our hope is in God for all eternity, it should be in hope of God today. And not to say, well, nothing matters anyway because Jesus might come tomorrow. Or nothing matters anyway because in the end our bodies decay and we get a new body in the new life in Christ. Those things are true, but they're only true to the point where we also realize that God has given us a wonderful gift. He's given us this life. Why has he given us this life? He's given us this life to live for him and to serve him and to bring glory to him. And we do that by living with a noble sensibility about our bodies. We do that by living, pursuing the way that we can, with the most strength, serve our Lord. And the what's called the sad diet today is not strengthening us to do the work of the Lord. It's making us sick. In fact, it's killing us. But we're called to let go of those things, to let go of that flat notion, nihilistic notion of the world that nothing matters, to let go of the atheistic, deterministic view that, well, we're all hardwired as we are anyway because it's all deterministic. We let go of that and we realize that we live in a vertical world, a God who loves us, who created us and wants us to live for him and has showed us how to live for him, and not only in a vertical world but a sacred world in which everything is sacred, including my body and including my relationship with others, desiring to live in health and in strength so that I can do all that I can to live for God and not mock and take advantage of this gift that he's given me in life. And as we do that, Isaiah tells us that we will be able to fly on wings of eagles, and that we will walk and we will not grow faint. And that is good news for noble souls. Let's pray together. Father, so good to be in your presence this morning. Your word meddles with us. Your word convicts us. And it's so often for us, so easy for us to acknowledge our spiritual weakness and even our emotional, our mental weakness. But when we talk about physical health, Father, it seems like we have so many walls that we put up, so many defenses. But may we hear your word today that says to let go. Let go so that your power can enter us and we can begin new habits, that we can begin new disciplined lives and realize the noble souls that we are with the noble bodies that you have given us to do noble work. And as we do that and grow in strength in your power, we will give you praise and honor and glory now and forever. Amen.